Daf Kuf Beis, says the Mishnah, Hazarik, if somebody threw something from Rishus HaYochet or Rishus Rabim, or threw a Dalar Amos Rishus Rabim, V'niska Machash Yotus Meyodoy, and then after it left his hand, before it landed, he realized. So I'm going to jump ahead for a moment and tell you the Maskonas HaGemara, and then we'll learn the Gemara. The Maskonas HaGemara is that the din the Mishnah is teaching us here is that to be considered a shayig, it has to be a shayig from beginning to end. So therefore, if the akira was done in a state of shayig, but by the time the hanocha came, he already realized what he did, v'nisker ma'achash yotza miyadai, he realized afterwards that what he did was wrong, so you don't have a situation of shayig from beginning to end, and he won't be chayiv a karbon chatis. And again, as the Gemara will explain it, according to the Maskana, another din, kol tachacher. That means somebody else caught it. So the way the Rishonim explain this din is as follows: if I throw something, and somebody is just standing with his hand open, and what I throw just falls into his hand, that's considered that I did the whole haitzah from beginning to end, and I'm chayiv. But let's say I threw a ball, and somebody ran towards the ball to catch it, that's considered shnayim shasua, and therefore, as we learned, I'll be potter. Or another halacha, kol tekelev means like this, that the item I threw fell into a dog's mouth. So the way most Rishonim learn this is like this: the dog didn't run towards the object, the dog was standing in its place all the time, but since the item fell into the dog's mouth, and the dog's mouth is not considered a place of dalet al dalet, and we've learned all along that hanocha has to be in a place that's dalet al dalet, that's why I won't be chayiv again. Oy, another din, shenisrafa. If the item got burnt before it made a hanocha, so I'm also part of it because there was no hanocha. Another halacha, zorak lasis chabura. If I threw with the intent to hurt somebody, chabura means a wound, bein ba'odem bein ba'mehema, and it's also to make a chabura on Shabbos, and my intention was to make a chabura whether in a human or an animal, v'nisker ad shalai nasis chabura, and I remembered before the chabura was made, so again potter. I'm potter, why? Because it wasn't a shayig from the beginning to the end. And I might as well say what the Rishonim say. Why do you have to have shayig from beginning to end? So there's two shitas in the Rishonim. The pasuk that teaches us the din of karban chatas says, "V'nefesh kisechta b'shgaga ba'asoisa." So some Rishonim say the proof is from the beginning of the pasuk. "V'nefesh kisechta b'shgaga." It has to be b'shgaga, a pure shagig. If it's not pure shagig, it's not a chiyuv karban chatas. Others say from the word ba'asoisa, the entire act has to be in one status of shagig. Missing that, it's not shagig. So now the Rishonim ask, essentially the Mishnah is teaching us the same din twice. That if you didn't have a shayig from beginning to end, it's not a shayig. Whether it's by haitzah, or whether it's by chabura. So why do I have to have the same din twice? So Rishonim say a very beautiful teretz. They say like this, in haitzah, especially if we'll say it's dalet amos, there's a shear. Until you did dalet amos, you didn't do haitzah. So I can understand, let's say it only went two amos b'shagig, and the list 2 amos would amaze it, so I don't have a shear of shagig. But when I threw something with chabura, there's no shear. Let's say I throw something at somebody who's standing right next to me, so I'll be chayef a chabura. The fact that the person I wanted to hit is a few feet away, that doesn't change the aveira. So since there's no shear, I might have thought that there, the moment I throw it, I'm chayef. The fact that it took a little distance and I realized before it hit him shouldn't make a difference, because the distance is not a factor in the malacha. That's why it says in all situations, if it wasn't shayig from beginning to end, it's not considered a shayig. Zeh klal, and this is the rule: kol chayev chatos ein chayoven ad she tichlosen v'shkog v'soifen shkog. It has to be shayig from the beginning to end. Tichlosen shkoga v'soifen zodin. However, if it starts off as a shayig and ends off as a mazid, or vice versa, tichlosen zodin v'skog v'soifen shkoga p'turin ad she tichlosen v'soifen shkoga. And obviously, the question is, what is the sefer teaching us that we didn't learn already? Ask the Gemara. Again, you have to sort of take out a little of what I said here, because I already gave away the end of the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, Hanochas, Chayif. It's mashman. The Gemara is learning in the Havamina, not like we learned, but all the cases of the Mishnah of Hazorik, Beniskach, Shiatz, Miyodoi, Kol to Acher, Kol to Kelev, all of them are just talking about the subject of Shoyik from beginning to end. So how's the Gemara learning now? That the reason I'm potter is because the door caught it, or because the other guy ran towards the ball. But otherwise, I'd be chayiv. Why? Hanacha, I'd be chayiv. Ask the Gemara, v'alei niskar, didn't I recognize that I was doing an aveira? V'tanan, we learned in this very Mishnahs, ket kol chayovei chattas en chayovin, achtei t'chlosim b'skoif in shkaga. So what's the difference if the door caught it, or it fell with a normal hanacha? I should be potter anyway. Answered the Gemara, Amarav kahana sefer osan lechto misna. The Mishnah is talking about a case where there's something connected with a hook. They used to have like a hook. When they wanted to carry a package on an animal, they would have a hook, which would tie to rope. And like that, I could make sure that the package didn't fall off. And that's why it's considered that I'm potter, because I'm still holding it. Ask the Gemara, lechto misna, if it's talking about a case that there's a hook and I'm holding it, so that's never a case of haitzah. Haitzah by definition means that whatever I'm throwing, zrika means I'm letting go. Here, if I'm holding on to it, it's not zayrik. And for the Gemara, it's talking about gonshin skam and lasis chabura. When is oigde biyadoi, the fact that I'm holding on to something, a factor in zrika? Because it's not called zayrik if I'm holding on to it. In chabura, if I throw something at somebody else to wound him, the fact that I'm holding on to part of what I threw doesn't make a difference. Says the Gemara, if that's what the Mishnah is talking about, hanamitanina, that also is included in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says explicitly, hazorik lasis chabura, bein ba'odim bein behema, v'niska achaloy nasis chabura, potter. So if that's what the beginning of the Mishnah is teaching us, so why does the Mishnah have to repeat it? Ela marava, what is the pshat in the Mishnah? Pshat in the Mishnah is talking about b'maver. That you have to learn like this. The Rav is saying, not the way we learned, that there's a difference between Zrika and Mavir. In Zoyrik, the moment I throw whatever I'm throwing, the moment I throw the object, it's no longer in my hands. So Enochanami, I might have recognized before it had a Hanocha that I did something wrong. It doesn't make a difference. Because as far as I'm concerned, the Mice is over after I threw it. The Sefer is not talking about where I threw it. The Sefer is talking about where I carried it. When I'm carrying it, I'm in control the whole time. So if I carried it to Amos, Bishayig, and then I realized that I was doing the wrong thing, so then it's considered Sefer B'mezit. That's why the Mishnah wants to differentiate, says Rava, between Zoyrik, where the halacha the Gemara is saying now by Zoyrik will be, is that even if I realize before the Hanacha that I was doing something wrong, I will still be considered a shagging b'chayiv karmichatis because I have no longer control, versus Mavir, that since I have control, I will not be chayiv. Ask the Gemara, Vazek Kladik Tani, the Mishnah is talking about Zoyrik. So how could you tell me that what the Mishnah means in the Zek Klal is referring to Mavir, to carrying, not throwing? Ela Marova Tartik Tani, the way we learned. Hazoyrik v'niskamach shots miyadai. One reason a person would be potter is that if he threw something and after he threw it, he realized that what he did was wrong, and if he realized before the hanocha, so we don't have soif tchilas shkag v'soif in shkaga, and you're potter. Another din is loy niskar. He didn't realize, so we're still in a status of shagig. But if it's called to acher, that I didn't make, that somebody else ran to catch the ball, or called the kelev, or fell into a dog's mouth, or got burnt before it landed, now it's potter for a different reason. Why is it potter? Because there's no correct hanocha. Ravashi says another halacha. Ravashi goes along the same line of Rava, but he says the din of the Mishnah is teaching us even a bigger chiddush. Chsuri Mechsra, and Taisa says it's not really Chsuri Mechsra. Chsuri Mechsra usually we mean that we have to sort of add words to the Mishnah. Here it's not that we're adding words to the Mishnah. Chsuri Mechsra Vachatani means we're explaining the Mishnah. How do we have to explain the Mishnah? Hazarik v'niska mach shtots miyodai. If I throw something and I realize after it fell out of my hand, I'm potter. Kol to Acher, I kol to Caleb, or Shinisafa, if it was caught by somebody else, who he ran to the ball, or door caught it, or was burnt, also potter. Hanacha, if it would have landed normally, it would be chayif. But madvar amurim, so Rav Ashi says an interesting din. Let's say something traveled for 6 amma or 4 amma. But what happened was like this. We don't have to talk about 6 amma. We'll talk about 6 amma in the next Gemara. It started off shayig, then it was mazid, and then it was shayig again. So I started off with shayig, and I ended off with shayig, but in the middle it wasn't shayig. What would be the halacha? So Rav Ashi is telling us that's considered tchilah v'sayfah shayig. V'medvar amurim shechaz v'shachach avloi chaz v'shachach potter. Only if I didn't have shekol chayav echatis en chayav and ad tchilos v'sayfah shkaga. So what's Rav Ashi adding? Rav Ashi is adding that even if in the middle there was a mezid, it's already considered, it still could be tchilah v'sayfah shayig. And most Rishonim explain, but you have to have shayig for 4 amas. That means like this. Let's say you'll have shayig for an amma. You'll have mezid for 2 amas. And then you'll end off with shayig. So you won't have a chiyah because you don't have 4 amas of shayig. You have to have a full 4 amas of shayig. So first of all, the Sfas Emes asks 3 shaylas halacha lemaisa on this Gemara. Halacha lemaisa, we don't bring a kar mechatas, but that are halacha. One child is like this, he asks. What's going to be, let's just talk about Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says you have to have shayig, as long as you have shayig in the beginning and the end, it's enough. What happens if the shayig at the beginning and the shayig at the end are not the same shayig? The shayig at the beginning is you didn't realize what you're doing is a malacha. The shayig at the end is you forgot to today is Shabbos. So you have shayig at the beginning and the end, but it's not the same type of shayig. Or another shayla, he asks. So it comes out from this Gemara, this has nothing to do with Rav Ashi, that if you started off with shayig and you don't end off with shayig, you don't bring a kar mechatas. So let's say I see you bringing, you doing something, and I know you're from Guy, and you're a shayig. If I tell you what you did was wrong before it landed, it'll be amazed. You won't bring a kar mechatas. If I don't tell you, it'll be a shayig from beginning to end. Should I tell you or shouldn't I tell you? Should I take away from you the opportunity to bring the kar mechatas? By me telling you, what am I doing? I'm taking away from you the opportunity to bring the kar mechatas. What? And you won't have the kapara. So maybe I shouldn't tell you. Like this, if I don't tell you, you'll be a shayig, and you'll bring kar mechatas, and you'll have a kapara. If I don't tell you, you're not going to have anything. You're not a mezid because you didn't start with mezid. You're not going to have a carbon because you can't bring a carbon. You were safer mezid. Then he asks a third shayla. Very interesting shayla. The Gemara is talking about shayig. To be considered a shayig, you have to be from beginning to end. What about mezid? To be considered a mezid, do you have to be from beginning to end or not? Let's say somebody starts off something as mezid, and he ends it off as a shayig. Will he be chayiv or not? So he brings a raya, chayiv malkis or chorus or whatever the oynish is. He says a gevaldiga raya that you wouldn't. Something that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. We learned in the Gemara Masechta that somebody went to put bread into the oven on Shabbos, which potentially could come to Isser Daraisa of Afiyah. But we also learned that you're not allowed to take bread off the oven in their ovens. Radiyas Apas, we learned this also. Taking off bread is a... Now let's understand. So the Gemara says you shouldn't take it off. So the Sfas Emes quotes a Riva. He asks a Posh Deshaila. Here we have a person that's going to be Chayiv Misa. So you're going to tell him, taking off bread is a drabonim at worst. We're going to tell him, leave the bread and go get killed. What kind of svar is that? It must be that if you, even though he was betchil of mezid, if he recognized that he did what was wrong and he's ready to do tshuva, he anyway won't get the einish. So it's right to be considered a mezid, he says, and has to be mezid from the beginning to the end. Matt, there's one more shayla, which is inyan de yoyma. What are we saying here? To be considered a shayig on Hilcha Shabbos, it has to be from beginning to end. In Masecht Baba Kama, let's use this as an example. There are a lot of examples. Everybody talks about the shayla. The Marsham, the Avni Nezer, Rav Shach and Avi Ezri. It's a fundamental shayla. If I do damage, if I light a fire, Chas V'Shalom, in my property, we all learned the Pasuk in the Parash of Mishpatim, and then it travels to your property, am I chayiv? Avada. That's called, that's half of Masecht Baba Kama. That's called a mazik. Even if I realize in the middle and I'm sorry for what I did, too late. Why? Because I started the fire. And once I started the fire, I'm chayiv. And in fact, They bring a great raya from Hilchos Shabbos itself. If I put on a candle on Friday afternoon, I put on the light Friday afternoon, I'm allowed to leave it on Shabbos because I did it Friday afternoon. So why all of a sudden here we're saying that if it's not shagig from beginning to end, it's not considered to be mechal Shabbos that you mechuyev kar mechatas? So there's a lot of ways of explaining this, but we'll just say one pshat. To be considered Shabbos is different than everywhere else. And works well with some of the things we've been thinking about. Everything else, it's considered, did you do something or not? If you did something, you're responsible for your action. If I lit a fire, I'm responsible for whatever damage the fire does. Chas v'shalom. Shabbos, we look at a malacha. We look at results. Shabbos is a very results-oriented iser. And if at the result, when the malacha was completed, it wasn't a shogeg from beginning to end, then it wasn't considered a malacha. Where we have a raya, we have a raya on Tisha B'Av. If you look into the Gemara and you look into Jewish history, most of the Beis Hamikdash burnt on Yud B'Av, not on Tisha B'Av. So why do we fast on Tisha B'Av? We should fast on Yud B'Av. The answer is because everywhere in Halacha, besides in Hilchos Shabbos, we don't go at the end. We don't go according to results. We go according to the beginning. When was the fire started? The fire was started in Tisha B'Av. And halacha, besides Hilchos Shabbos, we always go with the beginning. Continues the Gemara. Zeh klal. Kol chayav echatas. Itma. Shtei amos b'shogig. What happens if you have a situation that somebody carried two amos b'shogig? Shtei amos b'mezid, then there were two amos b'mezid, and shtei amos b'shogig. And then the last two amos were b'shogig. Rav amah potter. Rav says it'll be potter. Rav amah chayif. Now, before we go further, we have to review a Gemara. Now, you can't review something you didn't learn. We mentioned it previously, but the sugya is really nafkofei, like this. We learn a concept of yedias machalkas. That means, let's not even talk about Hilchos Shabbos. Let's say somebody ate a kazayas chalif, and he realized that he ate a kazayas, and then he eats another kazayas. How many carbon chattas will be chayif? Two. What happens if somebody ate a half a kazayas of chalif? And then realized that he ate it, and then he eats another half, again forgets. Will that yediyah that he had after a chatzi kazayis be considered a yediyah or not? It's a machloikas, ragamlil, and rabbonim. So here we also had a yediyah after two amis. Two amis is only a half a shir. It's seemingly like a half a kazayis. Says the Gemara, Rav Amapota, afilu gamlil d'ame en yediyah l'chatzi shir, that if I only became aware of what I did after half a shear, it's not considered becoming aware. Why? Because I only ate a half a shear. There it's different. Why? Hasam the kigamar shear because I get kigamar. What happened over there? I ate a half a kazayis chalev, realized I did something wrong, forgot again, and ate another half a kazayis. So I ate a whole kazayis b'shagik. Here what happened. Aval hocho the remezid loy. Here what happened. How many amos do you have to carry to be chayif? Four. He carried the first two amos b'shogig. The last two amos he carried b'mezid. At the moment of chayif, at the moment that he finished four amos, in what state was he in? It was a state of mezid. And that's why he won't be chayif come chattas. Ask Mamai, what situation are you talking about? Ibezoirig, if he threw it, shogig hu, once he let it out of his hand, he can't bring it back. So where is Rav saying his din? It must be b'mavir. And what happened was, again to review what Rav is telling us, if he carried two amos b'shogig, then carried two more amos b'mezid, and then carried two more amos b'shogig, since at the point of four amos he was in a status of mezid, he will not be chayv akar mechotas. Rav Amma, Rav Amma chayv. Rav on the other hand says chayv. Says the Gemara, filo rabbanan d'amma yeshadil chatzi shir, that rabbanan say that if I became aware after the first half of Kazayis, that's considered a break. Hosum hud b'yodai. That's only there because I don't have to eat the other half of Kazayis. Aval hochad ein b'yodai. Here I can't bring it back. Why? Because I threw it and I can't bring it back. That's why it's different. Now, what's Ravit talking about? Even Maver, if he's carrying it, why can't you say he can't bring it back? I'm in total control. Habiyodai. Ela b'zayrik. So it comes out, the Rava who say, and this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, Rava who's saying Chayiv is talking about Zoyrik. Rava, who's saying is Potter, is talking about Mavir. So they're not really arguing, because each one is talking about a different situation. And Rashi says, the Miri disagrees, but Rashi says, there's no longer Machlokes Rava and Rava. They're talking different subjects. Again, Rava is talking about Zoyrik, and Rava is talking about Mavir. Omer Rava. So now the Gemara says another Gemara. Zorak v'nochav api kelav api akivshan. If you went and it landed in the mouth of a dog or in the furnace, chayiv. Ask the Gemara, v'natana kalta acha or kalta kelav or shenisha for potter. So we have a stira. Is it chayiv when it falls into a dog's mouth or potter? Answers the Gemara, it makes a difference. If hasim d'loy kamachavin, hakamachavin. If you intend that it should land in the dog's mouth, so you made the dog's mouth something chashev, and therefore you're chayev. On the other hand, if you didn't intend, a dog's mouth is not dalad adalad, so it's not a hanocha, an adequate hanocha, and you potter. Amr Abibi Rabbi Afanan Nam Tanina, a famous Gemara, a few places in Shas. The Gemara says, Yesh oich l'achila achas, somebody could eat one kezayis, Rashi says, for chayev alo dalad chatos, and for now one kezayis, he'll be chayev four kamachatis, v'ashem echad. What was it? Hatame, the person is Tame. So somebody who's Tame is not allowed to eat something that's Kaidish. Shachal Chalev, it's Chalev. You're not allowed to eat Chalev, as we just spoke about. Vunoiser, if the carbon, if the thing from the carbon is left past the prescribed time, it's Noiser. Munam Mekdash, when it comes from Hegdish, it's for Hegdish, it's Ashem. That means Tame, Chalev, and Noiser are Karmachatis. Mekdashim is Asham Me'ilis, and he ate it on Yom Kippur. When you're not allowed to eat, there's a chiv karmachatis for eating Yom Kippur. Now there's right away an interesting shaila. Rashi says, how much did you eat? One kezayis. What's the shir achila Yom Kippur? A kesevis. So what do you tell me a kezayis? The shir Yom Kippur is a lot more. Everybody asked the kasha, I saw a teretz like this. There's an interesting, we know that the shir on Yom Kippur is a kesevis, which is more than a kezayis. What's going to be the halacha? The ksav soifa says that somebody was eating right until this man on Yom Kippur, and he, let's say kezevis, just for the sake of this conversation, is two kezeisim. And he ate one kezeis right before Yom Kippur. This man is 8 o'clock. He was eating one kezeis. He finished it at 8 o'clock. And then he ate the second kezeis after 8 o'clock. So how much did he eat only kezeis? Will he be chayif for eating kezevis or not? Says the kezeis, they will be. Because we take into account what he ate before. Because the shear of kezevis is just a shear of satisfaction. And here he has the satisfaction. So now we have a case where a person eats only kezayis Yom Kippur and he's still chayif. Ramei Oimer, Ramei says, I'll give him another karmachatis. Afim hoisu Shabbos. Rashi says it. Achila achas, you see Rashi four lines from the bottom, zayis echad. Ramei Oimer, Afim hoisu Shabbos. If it was Shabbos, vayit siyoy. Befiv, he carried it out in his mouth. Chayif. Amaloi enim in Hashem. That's not counted. Why isn't it counted? Because Rishonim explained that the Tanakhama says to Ramei, I'm talking about eating and you're talking about carrying. You know, you can always add on more Averis, and I could do Averi with my hand and I could do an Averi with my feet. So we're talking only about eating. How does Ramei respond to the Tanakhama? The way responding to Tanakhama is to be chayif for Shabbos, you have to eat. Because let's say I carry something out of my mouth and I don't swallow it, Ramei says I won't be chayif. So that's why he considered it an eating isser, and he says, and the Tanakhama says this is carrying, not eating. But now the question is, what do you have to say at Shabbos? So Yom Kippur you're not allowed to carry either. So Rashi and Tosfos both explain, Ramei is going to be the mandamah that holds you are allowed to carry in Yom Kippur. We don't pass him that way. But now let's get back to our Gemara. He's carrying it out in his mouth. V'amai, ha'ein derech etzor b'kach. It's not the normal way of carrying. So we just said the math doesn't count. Elo, kivin to kamachavin. Since I have kavona, machshav to mashvelei mokin. I have kavona to carry that way, so that makes it normal. Hachanami kivin to kamachavin. If I have in mind that it should land in a dog's mouth, machshav to levelei mokin, that makes the dog's mouth into a choshva place. Ask Rabbi Kivega. We'll end the parak with a kashva from Rabbi Kivega that he doesn't answer. Where we bring a raya from? We're saying that even though it's not a normal way of carrying, people normally don't carry something in their mouth. If I, for me, it's normal, it's amchayiv. So we're proving from there to the case of that if, even though normally a dog's mouth is not considered a chasher place, I can make it a chasher place. What's the connection? One is talking about the way you carry, and one is talking about the where you carry to. It's, how do you bring a raya from one to the other? It doesn't answer the question. Hanu lachazayrik, hanu lachazayrik, hanu lachazayrik. Begins the next parak. Habayne kama yivne v'yichayiv. How much do you have to build to be chayiv? So Tosis right away asks, why does Habayne come after all the parakim that we spoke about Oitzah? Tosis doesn't answer. I saw two answers. The Tosis Yontav answers, if we go back to the Mishnah and Paraklal Gadol, the list of all the malachas, the malacha right before Oitzah is Makab Patish, which is something we're going to talk about in this parak a lot, because Makab Patish and Baina are very connected. So since Makab Patish is right before Haitzah, and Makab Patish is related to Baina, that's why we put Baina right after Haitzah. Another answer that I saw is in the previous parak we spent a lot of time talking about how they put up the Mishkan, the Kroshim, putting him down, taking him back, which is a form of Binyan. So that's why Baina came next. So Habayna kam yivne v'yichayif. How much do you have to build in v'yichayif? Says the Mishnah, Habayna kolshu. Even if you build a kolshu. V'mesasis. Mesasis means to chisel out a stone. And Rashi says, every place according to the style they do. In some places they use flat, they make the stone nice and smooth. In some places they engrave the stones. According to whatever the minhag hamakom is, that's what mesasis is. V'makom patish. Very big machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, what Makab Patish here is. Rashi said Makab Patish is like this. Let's say I have a big stone, and I want to get it out of the mountain. So I keep on hacking and hacking, until I give the layers clap, and that gets out the stone. So Makab Patish means the final blow. That's the exact definition. So this was the final blow to get the stone out. Tosfos says that can't be Makab Patish, because that was not the way the Mishkan was built. They didn't use stones to build the Mishkan that way. And that's why Tosfos says Makab Patish means that they used a hammer, and we'll learn the Gemara tomorrow. The way it worked was they used to smooth out the hammer if it should stay smooth, and giving that clap to make it smooth, that's called Makab Patish. The hammer itself. V'amatzit. Matzit is similar to Mesasis, but Mesasis is in stone, and Matzit is on metal. Hakudeach, or somebody drills a hole, kolshu, even if it's the size of a kolshu, chayif. Zaklal, this is the rule. Kol ha'ois melocha. Whoever does melocha, o melachtoi miskayemes b'shabis, chayif. And what he does last, he's chayif. There's a three-way machloikis, which is Negel Alocha Lamaisa, how to explain this line of Kol Ois Malocha Malachta Miskayemis. Rashi learns a Malachta Miskayemis, what I did remains permanent. If I did something that has the ability to remain that way permanently, then I'm Chayiv. The Rambam says a very big kula. The Rambam says, as long as what I did to last for Shabbos, even though it's not that permanent, but it can last for Shabbos, that's already considered Malachta Miskayemis. And the Rishonim asked, Rishonim and Achroim all asked, according to Rambam, what does it mean that it can last for Shabbos? Let's say I do a malacha 5 minutes before Shabbos is over. So to do something to last for 5 minutes is not very significant. Was that already considered Malachta Miskayemis? Or does Malachta Miskayemis mean that it has to be able to last as long as the Shabbos lasts, which would mean at least 24 hours? It's a shaila had a limp shot in the Rambam. A third shot of Malachta Miskayemis means that what I did doesn't need further improvement. What I did, something is at the final status. But if what I did still requires further improvement, that's not Malachta Miskayemis. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Af Hamaka Bekornis Al Asad B'Shas Malacha, even if somebody gives a zetz, even not on the actual, I'm not knocking in the nail that I'm needing, I'm knocking on the table, it's also considered Chayib, Nei Shim Saka Malacha, and we'll explain that in the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, Kol Shulamai Chazi. The Gemara says that if I make a hole, even the smallest hole, I'm chayif. Ask the Gemara, what can I do with such a small hole? Am Rabbi Yimei Yeshiken Ani Chayif Guma Lahatznei Pertoisof. A person, poor person, doesn't have much change, will make a small hole to put away his change that he wants to hide. The Kavasaga B'Shabbos. where you have the same concept by Shabbos. So the way Tosfos explains it like this. Tosfos asks a fundamental question. To be considered a malacha, you don't have to have that it was exactly by the Mishkan. As long as it's similar to what was in the Mishkan, it's already a malacha. So ask Tosfos, we're looking for an identical situation in the Mishkan. Why do I need an identical situation in the Mishkan? As long as it's similar to Binyan, it should be Chayiv. So Tosfos says like this. If something api svara, api logic is a malacha, then you don't have to find it in the Mishkan. The fact that it's similar to something that was done in the Mishkan makes it into malacha. But if something is not identical, if something is not identical to what was in the Mishkan, and also it doesn't really make sense that what I'm doing is a malacha, then it won't be a malacha unless I'm able to find it in the Mishkan. If I'm able to find it in the Mishkan, even if api logic, it doesn't really make sense it's a malacha, then it'll be a malacha. So Tosfos is explaining like this here. Since, if I will find that they used a, that they built a kol shehu in the Mishkan, even though I didn't actually api svaros think it should be a malacha, it will be a malacha. So now I have to find in a place in the Mishkan that they made a kol shehu. The kavasav of Mishkan, shekein toifei yirias, the people who used to sew the curtains, choyfen gumel atznei b'machtem, used to dig a hole to put in their needles. Abaye Omer, that's not true. Kim de mishtachi, if you put the hole in the ground with rust, loy avdi hachi, they didn't do this. Ela, shken ani oisipet putei kerek tana, a poor person makes a small tripod, a small thing, lispus like kerek tana, to put on it, a small pat. The kavasaga by Mishkan, which you have a similar situation by the Mishkan, let's say they needed some dye. And they cooked up dye, and they realized that they didn't have enough. So what did they do? They took a small little pat, and cooked up a drop more dye. She came, the kavasaga by Mishkan, mevashlim, samana litzver yureyos, the people who cooked dye to color the covers of the Mishkan, and then they're missing a little dye. They'll make a small pat to put on a small pat that they made this little extra dye that they needed. Says Rav Achba Yaakov, that didn't happen to Beis Hamikdash. We could be stingy and make only as much as we need. In the Beis Hamikdash and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mishkan, everybody went very generous. And if they needed dye, they didn't make exactly as much as they needed, they made more. And if they'll have leftovers, so be it. So that never happened. Ella, what's the place that I make a small thing that I'll have similarity to Mishkan? She came balbash, yesh le neka bibi rasoi. If somebody has a beautiful wall, and he has in it a little hole, or a little curtain, so he'll take a stitch, and he'll sew it up. The kavasag of a Mishkan, the same thing you'll have in a Mishkan, shekein keresh, enough about darna. If a worm makes a small little hole in one of the boards, matal atoicha over, he'll put in a drop of lead, the saucepan, that's how we'll cover it up. Says the Gemara. Meis oma Shmuel, says Shmuel, hametzadet es evan. If somebody goes and takes a stone and just sets it in place, no cement, Chayiv. He's Chayiv for Boina. Meisvei asked the Gemara. The Gemara says, Echad Noisin is Eved, Vechad Noisin is Tit. If one person brought the stone and one person then put the cement on it, it's a Noisin as a Tit Chayiv. The person who puts the cement is Chayiv. What do we see from here? That it's not considered Binyan until you put on cement. And the Rishonim will point out it will be also vice versa. Let's say somebody first put on the cement and another person put the stone on top of it, then the person who put the stone on will be chayiv. You'll always go with the person who completes the malacha. But what's the bottom line? The bottom line is that you don't have binyan without cement. And here we say you have binyan without cement. Ask the Gemara with Tameich. Let's go a step further. Amos Sefer of that very Gemara, Yosi Omer, Afila Helech Vaniach Al Gabe. If you just take a stone and you put it on top of a formation of stones, you're chayiv. So what's going on here? And the Mishnah explained, Rabbi Yossi is not arguing, he's just speaking about something else. And he's agreeing that normally you need cement. So do you need cement or don't you need cement? Says the Gemara, plus a binyan hava. There are three levels. When you make a wall out of stone, you have three levels. Tosa, the bottom level. Mitzia, the middle level. The island, the top level. Tosa, the bottom level, you don't need cement, but by its duty, you have to put the stone in the right place. Why don't you need cement? Because since all the other stones are laying on top of it, that will keep it in place without any cement. So it needs earth, but it doesn't need cement. Mitzia, the middle part of the stones, by namitina, they need cement. And without cement, it's not called binyan. Eloi, the top row, banocha ba'alma, just put it down, that's called binyan. So you can have binyan without cement, or you can have binyan with cement. It depends where the stone is being placed. Mesasis. So we learned in the Mishnah, a mesasis, which we explained means to chisel, is chayiv. Chisel a stone is chayiv. Ask the Gemara, mesasis mishamay mechayiv. What is the malacha by Mesasis? In other words, the Mishnah said the Mesasis is a malacha. But as we explained when we began learning the Mishnah, our Mishnah is referring to two malachas. One is the malacha of Boina, and one is the malacha of Makom HaPatish. Where does Mesasis fall in? Mesasis Mishamay Mechayif. Rav Amar Mishul Boina. Rav says it's considered Boina. Mishmul Amar Mishul Makom HaPatish. And the Rishonim say, the Lechem Mishnah says, the Rav isn't arguing with Shmuel. Rav is saying that it's both Boina and Makom HaPatish. Shmuel is saying that it's only Makom HaPatish. And Rav is saying it could be both. Another case. You have a very interesting situation. You have a room where the chickens are in, and the fumes could be quite strong. So they make a hole for the air to escape. What's the Malacha? Rav Amar Mishul Boina, Shmuel Amar Mishul Makom HaPatish. A third case, Ayil Sufsa Bekifina Demora. You have like a shovel, and the top, the shovel part is getting disconnected from the handle. So you put like a little piece of metal or whatever to hold it in place. What's the malacha? Again, same machlokes. Rav Amar Mishul Boina, Shmuel Amar Mishul Makom HaPatish. Betzricha. And we had to have all three cases. If I only would have said the first case, it's normal to make, to fashion stones. You got to fashion the bricks when you build. When you just make a hole in the lul shatana goylem, that's the ain't derech binyan b'kach. That's not considered normally binyan. Maybe he'll agree to Shmuel that that's makve patish. V'yashmin b'ha kamer amshun the dumbel binyan davdil ivira. Why would if somebody made a window, would anybody have a shaila that that's considered binyan? Of course, it's considered binyan. So here too, I'm making the same point as I make with a window to get an ear. Avos sufsa b'kafina demara. When you put this piece in the shovel, dein derech binyan b'kach. Emin moidele l'Shmuel. Maybe he'll agree to Shmuel. That's why I had to have all three cases. V'yashmin b'ha. If I only had the last case where I'm dealing with a shovel, I would say b'ha kam Shmuel. Aba hanach tarti. In the first two cases, eim moidele l'Rav, he'll agree to Rav that that's called boina. Tzricha that no, he doesn't consider it boina ever. So first of all, Tosfos asks a very fundamental shaila. The halacha is eim binyan b'kelim. There's no din of binyan b'kelim. Here we're saying that you're making binyan, you're fixing the shovel, and Rav calls it boina. So why? How could Rav call it boina? It's a keli. So Tosfos says a very bechiddush. Ein binyan bekelim, he says, doesn't mean that if you make a keli from scratch, you're not going to be considered you did boina. Of course you did boina. What is considered ein binyan bekelim, says Tosfos, when you take a keli that's made out of different parts and you screw them together. So that's not called binyan. But if you take something and you create it, something that was completely broken, and you create it, that's not considered binyan. That's certainly considered binyan. Everybody will be considered binyan. And they say great raya. If you remember, we learned in the last parak, the Gemara said if you make cheese, it's called binyan. So there's all the Rishonim ask, if ain binyan bekelim, and making cheese is binyan, so how can you say making cheese is binyan? Because when you make cheese, you're making it from scratch. So even if you hold ein binyan b'kelim, when you're making something from scratch, that is boina. That's why making cheese could be considered boina. One more shaila makom HaPatish. Here we're saying that wherever you finish doing something, completing an act is makom HaPatish. So it's a great shaila. Something we learned also towards the beginning of the Masecht, I think. The halach is that if you cook something told as chama, if you cook it in the sun, it's not considered bishul. Because bishul has to be through fire. Ask the paiskim, true. It won't be bishul, but why isn't it makmapatish? Makmapatish, you made something inedible, edible. So you completed something. Why isn't it considered makmapatish? So there are a number of answers given. One answer is that there's no makmapatish ba'oichlin. By there is. No makmapatish ba'oichlin. Another answer is, makmapatish only is applicable when you have one of the other malachas. When you have one of the other malachas, then you can have makmapatish. But just to create something which is not a malach and say it's makmapatish on its own, that's not makmapatish. It's a bechidish. Another teretz is that since, as we learned in the Gemara, cooking in tol d'scham is not derech, so it can't be makmapatish. Anything which is not darkoi is not makmapatish. A fourth teretz I saw is makmapatish is only shayich when you're doing something. When you put something in tol d'scham, it doesn't get cooked. You leave it in the chama, and it gets completed afterwards. Makmapatish is only while you're doing it, it gets completed. If it gets completed only as a result of what you did, that's already not makmapatish. I'll tell you where I saw in the Paiskim, they asked the Shaila. You know, if you have an esrig that's green, after Tisha B'Av we start thinking about esrig. What do you call it? If you have an esrig that's green, what do? You put it into apples and it turns yellow. Are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? Is it called makmapatish? You made the esrig usable. When it's green, it's not that usable to you. According to what we just explained, there wouldn't be a problem if you think about, unless you say, because it's ain't darker, but all the other terutzim, it's an oichel, it doesn't happen automatically, and it's not a malocha, so it won't be makmapatish either.